there's an adage in ancient Grecian culture that simply says, know thyself. And when you think about that, it is a very difficult thing. Indeed, I think Cicero was right when he wrote, everyone is least known to himself. And it's very difficult for a man to know himself. It's interesting, in studying various cultural statements concerning that subject, one of the more interesting ones, I think, is an Arab proverb that says there are four kinds of people. They that don't know that they don't know. They that know they don't know. They that don't know that they know. And they that know that they know. In trying to live a Christian life, it seems to me that we are plagued by the opportunity to fall into category one, not knowing that we don't know ourselves. And we come with a sense of assurance, a sense of comfort that allows Satan into our lives. The Apostle Paul, in Romans the 7th chapter and verse 15, said, for that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. Ever felt that way? When you stand in private introspection, where all of the pimples and warts show so clearly, and you start to remember events of your life that are current, and you say, why did I say that? Why did I respond that way? Why didn't I take that opportunity? Why did I react the way that I reacted? That's exactly, I believe, what the Apostle Paul was feeling. The frustration of knowing what is right, but seeing himself practicing something else. I am a proponent of the belief that there will not be a lot of Christians that lose their soul from a lack of knowledge, but a significant number that will lose their soul because of not application of that knowledge into their life. Knowing oneself. You and I, as human beings, are creatures of habit. Understanding that is fundamental in establishing good habits in life. There's another old saying, as I seem to gravitate toward the grave, I come up with more and more old sayings that seem interesting. There's another old saying that goes like this. We first make our habits, but eventually they make us. Have you ever started the baby steps towards something, and as you gain momentum, you lose control? It's like going down the slope in Flagstaff with the snow on it. You start out slowly, but when you hit that banked turn down there, you are out of control and hoping that you don't hit a tree. Habits are vital, not only in our understanding habits, but in such a way that it affects our examination of the steps toward habits in our living a Christian life. There is a prolific author. I don't know his religious background, but it's conservative. His name is C.A. Hall. And I believe that he gets right to the heart of those thoughts that I'm sharing with you today. He says, we sow our thoughts and we reap our actions. We sow our actions and we reap our habits. We sow our habits and we reap our character. We sow our character and we reap our destiny. I think that's a series of statements that are deeper than one can really grasp totally in the first setting. But it ties our thoughts to our destiny. How many people do you suppose if we could bring them back that missed the mark at judgment, that ended on the side with the rich man, would say, if I had just stopped the thought? How many people are counseled by preachers and elders that have chosen the sinful way in the life of being a spouse, have said, if I had just stopped it at the first thought. Because that ends up affecting our destiny. Habits are matters of choice. I cannot control the fact that I was born into a family that's got a name like the bloodsucker. I'm a leech, but with one E. I cannot control the fact that I'm tall, dark, and handsome. But there are some things that I can control. I can control my habits. And if I can control my habits, if it's up to me to control my habits, then I have to understand that I am responsible for the habits as well. You may affect me the way we interact. The environment of Arizona, of the United States, may affect me, but when push comes to shove, I am responsible for my own habits. Hopefully, we surround ourselves with an environment that makes it more possible to have the kinds of good habits that affect our destiny on a positive scale, but it still comes down to my habit. You know what happens when we try to blame the smoking on someone else? We never quit. It's my habit. The overspending on someone, it's my habit. Until we grasp that, the consideration need to go no further, because its end result will only be frustration. These formed things, not inborn, they result from continued choices. That tells me I need to watch my choices. The continuing of a good choice always results in a good habit. But it needs to be continued. It needs to be practiced. Out in the parking lot somewhere, there's a little guy from Canada. You know him. His name is Irv. Irv has the most beautiful golf swing in the city of Sun City. He hits about 150 or 200 balls every day. I think I could take him one-on-one. I think I'm stronger than he is, if I could catch him. But he swings and he swings and he hits and he hits. And because of that, he's one of the better players in that town. It's like that with habits. We've got to get the bucket of practice balls and go to the range. Range is no fun for me. The game is what's fun. Continual practice. Do you evaluate your action or choices on the less important matters with any importance? Every time you do something, are there those things that you say, well, I'm going to do this, but it really won't make any difference? That's the establishment of being proficient at whatever that it doesn't make any difference thing is. Let me illustrate. From 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse, the first part of the 8th verse, we see it's good to keep one's body in good condition. In the second half of the verse, we see that it's more valuable to keep your spiritual self in good condition. The difference between those two is that one is valuable only in life, and the other is valuable in life and life to come. So we need to pay some attention. We need to prioritize those things that we practice. In order to reap that good condition, whether physical or spiritual, we've got to have good habits. If you want to be in good shape physically, I hear, you must jog or walk or lift or have some standardized exercise program that is consistent. I am of the ilk that would want to go in and dedicate 1 hour to whatever it is and do it hard, and that's enough. I'm in shape. I don't need that anymore. Tomorrow I can go on eBay and buy my Twinkies. Not the way to get into good shape physically. We all understand that. The result of not having good habits is not having good condition. Now let's use that concept in a spiritual application. In Psalms, the 1st chapter and verse 2, the Bible says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." I love the 1st chapter of the book of Psalms. That's why Brother Moore says that every time I ask him to read the scripture, it's the first chapter of the book of Psalms. Meditating in his word, day and night. We would agree, I assume, that that would be a good habit. But delighting in his word is not inborn. It doesn't matter how spiritually minded my parents were. When I was born, the delighting in his word, in God's word, was not genetically in my person. It's something that has to be developed. I chose this lesson today because it's Review Sunday. And we get to delight at the kids that come up here and answer questions that the adults are thankful are not asked to them. The fact that they're able to answer is not accidental. It takes parents and teachers that are able to motivate these children to delight in the Word. Do you know what's happening when you see all of the hands go up for this question and that question? And just they all want to answer, and that's delighting in the Word. And that's a good habit that will result in young men like Mike Sparks, who is physically capable, has a good career, but because he learned by David and Beth and Pam and his teachers growing up to delight in the Word, he is what he is. He can handle tragedy and still be on track. And he is an example to even to those of us that are as old as Bob Dylan and I. That's the secret. Is delighting in the Word as it develops habits. Christians don't get some special desire when baptized. God does not bring a new Christian up out of the water and zap into that Christian the desire to establish good habits through a delight in his word. That's why there are those that fall away. They don't change their habits. Interest is developed. People come to like the things that they choose the most. Jesus said that life can only be lived one day at a time, Matthew 6 and verse 34. How important our life is to us determines how we make our choices. You spend more time and energy, you put more intellect into making a choice, buying a $500,000 house than you do a $1 candy bar. Well, how important is our spiritual life? If it is important to us, then we will do those things necessary to establish the habits that allow us to shine spiritually. That will put at a minimum the frustration that the Apostle Paul showed in the book of Romans that we read in chapter 7 and verse 15. When it becomes habitual, it becomes easier. We will come to the point where if we make ourselves be attendant to the Word of God, that missing that will be traumatic to us. We will look for opportunity, even when it is not obvious before us, to do those things that are habitual, just as well right as wrong. If we want to apply Psalms 118 and verse 24, we will live the best possible life. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. There was never a more positive statement, direction, than that direction. In John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Who is the they? That be us. Jesus came and sacrificed himself, as graphically stated in our hearing by Brian at the table. Why did he do that? I know what he did. I know the magnitude of what he did. I know the emotion of what he did from those statements that Brian made. You know why he did that? It's so that Catherine and I can have abundant life. That's why. To do that, we must have good habits. The development of Jesus' good habits that left the footprints in the stand for our development are as follows. He was knowledgeable in the Scriptures. We'll never be able to mimic the life of Jesus until we become knowledgeable in the Scriptures. He was a man of prayer. We will never mirror Jesus in our life until we become people of prayer. He was a man who regularly assembled to worship God. We'll never be like him until we are regular in our assembly to worship God. And he did good for others everywhere and always. Paul said, do good unto all men as you have opportunity, especially of the household of faith. That was directive toward a habit, to an order from the King. If we'll do those things, we'll find that the following of the Master toward the abundant life is possible. I would say to you, if we follow those things, it is impossible not to be pleasing to the Lord. The abundant life, it sits before you and I today. We invite you to be a part of the family of Jesus Christ. Give your life to him. Come while we stand and sing.
Just stand.